When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Brought to you by Telecel, connecting energy's holy insecticide spray and coil. Enjoy a holy sleep. It was the former majority leader and minister for parliamentary affairs, Osaeche Mensah-Bunsu, who first warned his own government that the bitterly devastating domestic debt exchange could wipe out the middle class. Nearly 2 years after the DDEP was implemented, the finance minister, Mohamed Amin Adam, yesterday finally apologized for the pain it inflicted on thousands of Ghanaians. Tonight, the apology has left investors who bore the brunt unimpressed. The Locked Up Investment Holders Forum have been protesting once more, demanding to meet with the finance minister as they demand more than just an apology. We'll hear from them shortly, but first, here is the finance minister asking for forgiveness.
The domestic debt exchange program was a very successful program, achieving 95% participation. And on this note, I would like to appeal to the people of Ghana to forgive us, to forgive us. It is never the intention of any government to impose hardships on its people. It was a necessary, very important decision at the time that if we avoided it, our economy will not recover such as it has recovered today. But also to thank you, the people of Ghana, to thank you on behalf of the president for the sacrifices, for the efforts that you all have made in participating in the domestic debt exchange program that saved our economy. And so I thank you very much for that support you gave to the government.
It says government is committed to reducing inflation to single digits by next year, aiming to alleviate the suffering of Ghanaians.
When the Russia-Ukraine war happened, we saw global inflation going up. And ours was also negatively affected. In fact, inflation went to up to about 54% in 2022. But again, see the effort we have put into managing inflation in Ghana. In June this year, in 17, 18 months, we have brought inflation down from 54% to 22%. In 17 months, we have more than halved inflation from 54% to 22%. And we are determined to end this year with an inflation rate of 15%. God willing, inshallah, if this party continues in government next year, we are even further determined to bring inflation to a single digit inflation next year.
And you had the finance minister there apologizing for the DDEP. And I want to bring in right now, Dr. Edwana Niemtri is a convener of the Pensioner Bondholders Forum, one of the groups severely hit by the particular implementation of the domestic debt exchange. He's also today been leading the Locked Up Investment Holders Forum at a protest demanding to speak and meet with the finance minister. Joins us on the line right now. We'll also be speaking pretty shortly to Hariyam Singh, one of the conveners of the Individual Bondholders Forum, also one of the groups set up in the heat of the domestic debt exchange to fight for the rights of those who had bought government bonds when government was preparing to impose what at the time was feared to be haircuts, which turned out to be renegotiated terms for the bonds that they had bought. We'll speak to him again. His thoughts on the apology that has been issued by the finance minister in the last 24 hours. Dr. Edwana Niemtri, do you accept the apology?
Well, I think traditionally I haven't come across anybody who apologizes and people say we won't accept. They will normally accept your apologies. But as I know, apologies does not solve problems that have been caused by one's action. If I slap you and later on I apologize. You still have gotten my slap, the slap I gave you. And so that's the challenge I have, that apology, yes, fine, people accept it, but it wouldn't solve the problem that one's action has created. And that's as the elderly people in the Akan would say, that kose kose in Kunkru. If you do something against somebody, they like it to do, you have created a sore on the back of someone or whatever. So if later on you go and say kose kose kose, it doesn't heal the sore that your action has created. And therefore, when we are doing some of these things, we should be mindful so that we do things that will not create some of these things before we go and apologize. For me,
so you accept the apology, though? I mean, fundamentally, yes. You accept the apology.
Fundamentally, it's the apology, yes. If people apologize, it's fine. You accept the apology. But I'm saying it hasn't removed whatever harm that your action has caused to that person.
The finance minister, having apologized, then goes ahead to talk about the progress that this economy has made under his and his predecessor's watch, which is that he's confident that the crisis is over. So that's substantively, beyond the apology, he's telling you that we are taking steps to bring recovery to yourself and the economy. Do you feel that?
No, for me, I can't put it that way. And especially when investors' funds are still locked up in this financial market. You can't talk about having improved things when investors' funds are still locked up in this financial market. That's why I have always say that let the government speak with the IMF and other people, development partners, to help us until everybody gets his money back from this same financial market. I'm sorry, I cannot say the financial market is developing or we are seeing improvement when people's funds are locked up. That's my view. Until people's funds are gotten back to them, then we can. People are afraid now even coming to invest in this financial market. So we can't say that we are making progress in the financial sector. Other sectors may be fine, but not the financial sector, especially the investment area where we need capital from investors to run this economy, whether it's government or whether it is the private sector. Government now goes to the treasury market. It's not making the bid that it wants, which means people are even not giving the money that government wants to him. You know, and that's, if that is the case there, then what about if we go into the private sector, who now will take his money and say he's going to give it to a finance house or whatever? Everybody is afraid to go and invest. So until we resolve this locked up funds, for everybody to get his funds back, I will not be taking anything like we've improved or we have resolved issues. There is issues are still there, unresolved.
Financial
cleanup has not been done, has not been completed. Hmm. Let's complete it. Then we can start talking about that.
Stay with me, Dr. Edwin Anunji. I want to bring in Harry Yamson. He's a member of the Independent Bondholders Forum. Joins us right now. Mr. Yamson, so you had the apology yesterday. You accept it?
No one can accept a non-apology. It cannot be an apology.
Why is it this not? Is, I mean, he asked for forgiveness directly.
I mean, this is essentially asking people to not acknowledge the truth. The truth is that the government is not making good on the amounts that it needs to pay to bondholders. The government is not paying those amounts. It is more in default than it is respecting its obligations. And as long as the government remains in substantial default, people are deprived of their real incomes. And what is worse is that post-DDEP, we have seen more inflation, we have seen more depreciation of the currency, and we are witnessing the government enter into stratospheres of borrowing that we've never seen before, to the point where even the lenders are now holding back. And that promises even worse futures for all of us. So if the minister is serious about an apology, then he needs to deal with the debt that he's piling up for tomorrow, which will make it even more difficult to honor the debts that they owe already. I'm appalled that rather than dealing with the substantial matters of actually writing the errors of 2022 and 2023, the minister just wants us to, you know, put our heads in the sand and pretend that.
Did I hear you say that on the subject of the bonds that we exchanged, that there's still some default around that?
Of course there is default, because there is non-payment. Most of the bonds are not being honored. And so it's very difficult for government to claim that there's a turning around. When people don't have their funds, when people don't have their investment, how on earth can the minister say there's a turning around of any corner? Because people don't have the livelihoods to be able to turn any corner. And don't forget, before the EEP, there was all the debt that went into the Ghana Amalgamated Trust, which is not being paid as well. So let's not forget, there was debt that had been defaulted on before DDEP, and then there was DDEP, and all of those things are sitting quietly. No one is saying anything about it. With all the debts that came through Ghana Amalgamated Trust, government only paid 20% and then quietly ignored the remainder. And then DDEP came, and they are not honoring most of those bonds as well.
I mean, Mr. Yamsi, stay with me. Dr. Dunanentri, you were the convener of your own group, the Pensioner Bondholders Forum. Is it your experience, too, that some of the bonds you exchanged have not been honored, that there's a default there?
So far, for bondholders, individual bond, and I believe they are also enjoying the same payment for as the pensioner bondholders are enjoying. That's what I know, that it's being paid as and when these bonds, the coupons are due and the principals are due. The challenge that I have heard and people have come to me to complain about is for the corporates, the companies that are holding bonds, people who have bought the bonds in their company's name and did not exchange, and they were also have been treated as exempt, because once you didn't take it, then once you are treating the exempted people, you also have to pay them. They complained that they were not being paid for some time. But the other time I heard the minister saying they have started doing that. I don't know how far they have gone in paying the corporates that did not exchange their bonds for the old, for the new ones.
I mean, if we if we still have some default still happening right now, would you describe the apology as sincere?
And that's what I'm saying. The last time I heard that the minister said they have started paying, I don't know whether they paid to the all the matured or the coupons that were due. And I've not gotten the feedback whether there are still some due that has not. I would not be surprised if there are still some due, but I can't say for sure there are still some due. But I know that from day one, they were not being paid as we, the individuals, were being paid. The corporates were not being paid, and the challenge was that they wanted to, they didn't have a voice to even speak. Because they couldn't get the two people who approached me, asked them to find out if they will get other corporates who are having this bond so that they can make some approaches to the ministry. So, but that hasn't happened. So that, I believe, I knew it came to my attention that the coupons were not being paid to the corporate guys who did not exchange their bonds. But I don't know. That is still the problem.
And I know over the last few weeks, in fact, months, you have been pursuing the minister demanding more than an apology. Today, you were back there leading your group, the Locked Up Investment Holders Forum. Did you finally get to meet him?
Well, we didn't get the minister nor the deputy minister as we had promised. We were promised some time ago, you know. We've been there. This is the 11th week that we have gone on the picketing. When we resumed the picketing, the first picketing was 15th May. Then we suspended it for 2 weeks to allow the deputy minister to travel and come back and have some engagement with us. It didn't work. So we resumed the picketing on the 5th June. That 5th June, we were called into the office by two officers and were told the minister and the deputy were out of the town or the country. So when they say that when they come back. The next week we went, which was 12th June, we were called again and said they have come back, but they were in some workshop, that they will get back to us. That was the last time we heard anything from the ministry. And last week we sent a letter to the minister. We are saying that whatever has been budgeted for this year, which is 4 billion in the budget, and they want to use 2.3 on NIB, that is not. NIB alone cannot be giving that amount. For the rest of us, the elderly people, the pensioners, and the sick whose funds are locked up, to go dying without getting their funds to take care of their medication and their sustenance. So they should reduce the 2.3 that they want to commit to NIB. NIB does not need 2.3 billion to operate. They are still operating. If we want to top them up a little, but not to give 2.3 out of a small amount of 4 billion that you can afford. 1.5 is going to the legacy issues where Dr. Ingdum's company's clients are involved, plus other fund managers. So that, as at now, leaves us with 200. And we have said that 200 million, they should start using it to resolve the distress. SDIs, and then reduce the budget that they have put down for NIB to give NIB 2.3. We think it is too much at this time, at this day, within this environment, and that these conditions that we have. Why do you want to take 2.3 billion and give it to NIB and see your citizens crying and dying because their monies are locked up in the same financial market?
So there are still some fundamental issues with people's funds locked up in the midst of the minister's apology yesterday on the subject. Please stay with me, Dr. Dunanyeng, to also Harry Yam Singh with the Individual Bondholders Forum. I want to bring in Professor Peter Kwarte, the director of the Institute of Statistical, Social and Economic Research, his department, his unit. They have, in the last few days, released a report that looked generally at the economy, and he joins me now with his thoughts on the minister's candid apology over the last 24 hours. Prof, where do you stand on the apology we had yesterday? He did not only apologize to the minister, he also talks about how grateful he is to Ghanaians for the sacrifices they've made, but then he assures that the economy is out of the woods and that the crisis is behind us. When you listen to that apology, knowing what you know as far as the research and the report that you've done, what were the immediate reactions for you?
I think there is no doubt that the BDEP caused pain to Ghanaians, caused pain to investors, banks who were making profit all of a sudden became loss-making, and investors lost income or expected income, and all the uncertainties. However, I think I also admire his candidness, his willingness to apologize. I mean, we are in this country. How many politicians or leaders are we seeing apologizing when something goes wrong? After all, he was not the finance minister at the time, yet he had that boldness and candidness to apologize. So for me, I admire his candidness, his apology, except to say that people's income or expected income is to be paid, or they expected there's some leave on this for their medication, etc. So as we see more resources being released as a result of the debt negotiations, the cancellation, rescheduling, etc., they should try and pay those whose monies are due so that we get over this problem. But I must commend him for his candidness, obviously.
And to the point, though, that substantively after the apology, he then lays out a very optimistic path for the future of the economy, saying that the crisis is over and we are growing faster than originally predicted. Do you share in that optimism? That's the reality back what he's saying based on the work that you've done, Adisa?
Yeah, speaking to data, I mean, we can see even our growth projections are being revised upwards. We are seeing some even industry that suffering from the world price increases and all the cost of doing business, still doing better than what it used to be. So based on that, I can see that there are prospects, and we see GDP grow at a much faster or higher pace than previously. Except to say that as we grow, we have to grow faster and then be able to lift people out of poverty, especially at the bottom 20%. We need to grow faster and also try to reduce too, because as you grow, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. So we have to have a targeted and conscious policy to redistribute the growth so that everybody becomes happy. We're able to put money in people's pockets, as they usually say.
Peter Kwasi, thank you very much, Prof. I'm grateful that you joined us with your thoughts on this one. Harry Yamsing, do you agree with the point made there by Professor Peter Kwasi that at least his decision to apologize when he was in the finance minister at the time when the bitter pill was forced down your throat, the DDEP, the fact that he did that alone is commendable?
Hello?
Hello, Mr. Yamsing, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, do you agree with
okay,
that?
Okay, so I mean, personally, this is my view. I think it's politics. And we are talking about real lives. And we shouldn't mix politics with real lives. In the midst of the DDEP, we had leaders of all the bondholders express grave concern about people who were sick, dying, and people who have died. So I don't think that we should reduce this matter to the simple question of somebody rendering an apology that has zero meaning in the lives of the people who were impacted by DDEP. The apology has zero real effect. The only real effect is government to make good on its obligations. Then we can talk about apologies. But when government is blatantly, deliberately not paying its obligations and worsening the conditions into the future for any government to actually honor those debts and then to paper it over with an apology, I'm very sorry, but that apology doesn't cover the losses. And it does not cover the deaths, and it does not cover the disabilities and the illnesses that people have suffered. So the minister should hold on to his apology. When they have made good, we can discuss apologies. That's the simple line. And you can ask anybody who has suffered as a result of any policy decision made in the last 8-10 years that have caused financial loss in their personal lives, whether that apology, which for me is just shallow politics, whether it covers anything at all. It does no good. And we shouldn't entertain it. We should demand performance from our government. We should demand performance from political leaders. And as I always say, this same group of people who caused so much hate and pain and loss, in a few months, they will come to us and they will make us pay for their ex gratia. That they will collect, and there will be no apology. Mark my words.
Harry Yamsing, thank you very much. And Harry Yamsing is a member of the Independent Bondholders Forum. LA head Dr. Edu Ananiyemchi was the convener of the Pensioner Bondholders Forum. Right now, he's leading the locked up investment Holders Forum protesting, demanding more than an apology from the finance minister. As he explained earlier, they are still yet to meet the finance minister as they put their grievances across because, yeah, fans are still locked up. Well, tonight we're still hearing from the minority in parliament. We've been hearing from the minority spokesperson on finance, Isaac Odongo, who says the finance minister's apology is dishonest.
Really?
That is dishonest. Are you sorry because you took us here, or you are sorry because we are suffering? Which is, wait, you are sorry because you collapsed our bank? You should say so. You are sorry because we warned you that you were borrowing as if there's no tomorrow and you didn't care. You are sorry because you engage in activities where your own, your institutions, banks that are related to you, were the people fronting to borrow for Ghana. Even Ghana didn't need the loan. You needed the fee. So you took your data bank to go and borrow. Is that what you are sorry for? This is dishonest. Tell us what you are sorry for. Look, there cannot be closure without you admitting the fact that you consciously plunged this country into a mess. They must first admit that. Otherwise, anything they say is lip service and it is dishonesty. And the people of Ghana will not forgive them.
But some Ghanaians ask that this government apologize to them. They have done so. Not enough.
The apology is there are a series of sins. What exactly are they apologizing for? Is it COVID-19 they're apologizing for? Because they told us that it is COVID-19. Are they apologizing for Russia-Ukraine war? Is that what they're apologizing for? They are not apologizing for our banks. They've collapsed almost 422 financial institutions. Have they apologized for that? They've apologized. Are they apologizing for the fact that they expanded our public debt for 122 or 120 billion to 746 billion. Is that what they're apologizing for? Are they apologizing for the fact that they took us through a DDEP, that they promised pensioners that they will not give them a haircut and gave them a haircut? Is that what they're apologizing for? They should tell us exactly what they're apologizing for. And you will see the dishonesty in what they are doing. There is really no apology.
Okay.
They are simply playing games with the people of Ghana. They should tell us, is it the jeopardy they're apologizing for?
But on the banking sector, should they be apologized? Because they brought reports that indicated that the non-performing loans of some of these banks were just out of the roof. Therefore,
at the time they collapsed the bank, the non-performing loans were 17%. Today, the non-performing loans is 25%.